One, two, three, testing. One, two, three. One, two, three.
My name is Mia Kim. I'm from Korea and I live in America, and I'm a radio producer on Asian adoptee. We are producing documentary on Asian American history, and there's a piece on adoptees. So it's for National Public Radio. I don't know, do you know the radio station or not? You do? Wow.
NPR.
Yeah, I know. Okay. It is going to be aired in 2006, May. So. To other people, not just to you. We don't know if we will be on there, but I'd like to have you guys and also other people like her and her husband. It's a possibility. I cannot guarantee anything, but you will hear a lot of different adoptees from Korea, Vietnam, and China. So,
Okay. And then maybe Ben and I will just talk a little bit about ourselves. You guys don't really know our story, do you? You don't know much about us.
Ying Ying, you probably know a little bit.
Forgot.
Yeah, you forgot. Okay. So, I was adopted in, guess what year?
1985.
No? Guess how old I am?
I don't know.
Oh, no! Jeez! No!
I don't want to guess.
Wait, are you 20?
No, I'm 31.
Okay. Oh!
So, I was adopted when I was almost 5. So, that was 1970. In 1978, yeah. And most of you were adopted what year?
1992.
Ooh, 92. 92. 92. 92. Different than your guys' story, because we were, it was so much different back then. And when we were adopted, it was, we were adopted from Korea, and the circumstances were a lot different in Korea. Have you met a lot of the older Korean adoptees?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows Kyung-ae?
I do.
Yeah.
Maya, you know her.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Kyung-ae. Yeah, she's really cool.
Both of you know her.
I don't know who she is. Have
you met her?
Pushy.
Pushy.
I don't know her.
Yeah, so.
I do.
So,
Play shop thing?
Uh-huh.
Oh, her, yeah.
I know her.
Yeah, she's real sporty.
Of course I do.
Yeah. But anyway.
She was there, I think, a long time ago.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It was by my house.
Yeah.
So anyway, our friends and our age of people, when we were adopted, we went to places like in Ohio or Minnesota, a lot of people, Michigan, and we went to schools where it was all white kids.
No Asian kids. We would be the only Asian kids in school.
Opposite.
Yeah.
Opposite.
Yeah. So I think it's very different for you guys. So and most of us, we had. Our names were changed to very Anglo-sounding names. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
But
she used to be Crystal, but she changed her name back to Hyunji, which is Korean.
Yeah.
Crystal.
Do I look like a crystal?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So yeah, it's really cool to see you guys and to see that you have all kinds of different names, reflecting your heritage. And so what we're going to talk about today is whatever you want to share with us about growing up in the Bay Area, the school you go to, what you think about being adopted, and anything you want to tell us about your family or how you consider yourself? Do you know what the word identity means? Yeah?
About yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of how you view yourself, right?
Something that distinguishes you from other people.
Yeah, so when I was growing up, I thought I was a white person.
Me too.
Yeah, we really thought so. Because
we didn't know better.
Yeah, everybody else around us, they were all white kids with blonde hair, blue eyes, and very tall, you know? I was always the shortest person. Yeah, and it was, we had some very different experiences, I think, from you guys. So, and then the rest about me is that, let's see, in 1996, I found my birth family. So I've been reunited with them for, since 96, yeah. And I go to Korea every summer and go back there and see what Korea's about and see my family. And also I was adopted with my birth sister and brother. So we grew up together, the three of us.
Just with an
Ikan,
actually.
Yeah, it's spelled with the C though. Yeah. And okay, what do you want to say about yourself?
Let's see, I was born in Korea also, and I was adopted when I was 7 by a family in Minnesota. And then I was adopted again by a family in Colorado, and I've been with them ever since. And same situation, I was basically the only Asian kid in the whole area, basically. The town, couple towns, there's like only Asian kid. You grow up thinking you look like everybody else because you're not really sure, you know, you're just a kid. You kind of think you look like everybody else around you. So you grow up thinking one way because, and then you get treated, everybody gets, you know, used to you. But if you go to, once I left my hometown and went somewhere where people have never seen an Asian person before, it's very different. They treat you kind of different. Some people are freaked out. Some people are mean. Some people are nice. It's like all kinds of reactions. And you guys may run into that maybe if you like go across the country or something and go to a place you've never, where people aren't used to Asian people. Sometimes you might run into like weird behavior. And I think it's important maybe to understand that you might want to expect that actually from people because they just don't know. You know, they're not used to it. And they're just as like nervous as you are. Or curious as you are about each other. But I haven't found my birth family, but maybe I'll look later. But I'm glad to be out here in California where other Asians are. It's nice to be with other Asians. It makes you feel a little bit more comfortable. But I like having all kinds of people around me, like not just Asians. I like just having a diverse people. Because I mean, what's your ideal goal for the world? World peace, right? No? I mean, but basically you want to get along with everybody, don't you?
Yeah.
That's the way I want to be. That's how my parents were. And so I like it out here because it seems like more than any other place on earth, here in San Francisco, we're very lucky. People are able to live side by side in relative peace.
Yeah, maybe you guys don't know what we're talking about. Have you ever been somewhere where it was mostly white people?
Ohio.
Ohio, yeah. For a family visit or what?
Grandparents went there.
Oh, grandparents? Yeah.
Yeah.
Deanna and Cam. So we've told a little bit about ourselves, so now if you guys want to each take a turn and you can say your name, your age, maybe... Your grade. What kind of school you go to, you know? Let's see. What else you want to say? Something about your family? You could share whatever you like about your family. If you have adopted sisters or brothers or sisters and brothers born in the family or whatever. Oh yeah, and where you're born. And when you came to the States.
That's a lot
okay.
to remember.
Okay. And then I move mic around.
Okay.
So please, you know, wait until I put your mic over there.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Deanna, and I'm in 7th grade. I'm 12 years old, and I was born in Wuhan, and I was 3 months old when I came here. That was just before the law was enforced that they couldn't come before you were 3 months, sort of, yeah. And so then I have a brother who's also adopted from Wuhan at 1 year old. And so, yeah.
So
my mom is Caucasian, but then my dad is Chinese, so sometimes you wouldn't know and sometimes you would. It's
My name is Yingying, and I'm in. Wait, can you say the grade that you're gonna be in?
Sure. Okay.
I'm in eighth grade.
No, you wouldn't be in eighth grade. You'd be in seventh.
And I'm in seventh. And I'm in seventh grade. And my mom is Jewish, and my dad is from Europe, and I was born in China, and I came to the U.S. when I was under a year.
Yeah. I can't remember all
that. It's okay, whatever.
Okay. I'm Maya, in the eighth grade, and I go to Presidio Hill School, and it's a diverse school, so I'm happy there. And
how old are you?
Seven. Would I be 13?
Oh right. Yeah.
Okay. Ah, la, la.
When were you adopted?
I was adopted at 9 months old in province of Hunan. And both my parents are Caucasian, and it's kind of weird because when you go to restaurants, people look at you, and it's really weird. And it feels odd.
Mm. I used to do the same. If I saw another family with an Asian kid, I'd be staring at them too. I'd be like, wow, it looks really weird. But then I would never think it was weird.
Yeah, yeah. No, they stared at me a lot.
No one.
And I was just like standing there, like, okay. And yeah.
Okay. My name is Aji. I go to CASE. It's a bilingual school. We learn Chinese and English. I'm going into seventh grade. I have met my birth family, and I was adopted from Jiangxi province, and I'm 11. Yeah, I am.
And you will be in seventh grade.
You can do either.
Wait,
okay.
Are you going to say the name of you? Doesn't
matter.
I'm May Lee, and I go to the Chinese American International School, and I'm 12 years old, and I was adopted from Wuhan when I was 7 months old.
My name is Yang, and I'm in eighth grade at Chinese American International School.
Oh, I
cannot hear you. Please do it again. It sounds like she's crying. Because it's not live right now, you know.
Okay, my name's Yang, and I'm in eighth grade at Chinese American International School. I'm 13, and I was adopted from Wuhan when I was 5 months old.
Very young.
I was 3 months.
Oh, my parents are Caucasian, and like, it's sort of weird, but because, like, some people think my dad's Chinese. Because he has sort of dark hair, and they're like, wait, because, like, my mom's blonde, and they're like, wait, so the father's Chinese, right? And then, yeah.
I'm Maggie. I'm 10 years old. I'm going to turn 11. I'm going to 7th grade. I was born in Shanghai, China. What else? My parents are Caucasian. I have one brother and two sisters. They're not adopted.
Okay.
I'm Cam. I'm 11 years old and I'm in the 6th grade. I was adopted from China when I was 1 year old, and I go to Alice Fong Yu Alternative School.
Well, we have a lot of questions, but maybe you guys kind of hit upon some interesting topics about, you know, what's it like to have parents who look differently than you? And, oh, your name tag.
Maya.
Oh, Maya, yeah, sorry. Yeah, Maya talked about it a little, how she feels sometimes. Does anybody else want to share something about, you know, what it's like to be in public, or any experiences you've had, or, yeah? Okay, well, maybe Cam first. Yeah.
Since my dad, he's Chinese-American, and my mom's Caucasian, when I'm with my dad, I mean, nobody looks at me strange or anything, but when I'm with my mom, I mean, not that people do look at me kind of strangely, but it's just different because my mom's Caucasian and we're Chinese, so yeah.
So you can tell that they're looking
at you. Yeah.
How does it make you feel when people are looking at you?
It kind of seems like, what's wrong with me? Is my shirt messed up or something? It's kind of, not that I feel left out or anything, just seems kind of strange.
Yeah, just something that happens, yeah. And,
Yang, did you want to? Okay, well, like, when I'm with my parents, when I went to China, people looked at my parents. But then, like, when I'm here, people look at me. And then, like, if you go to, like, a restaurant with somebody, or, like, with one of your parents or something, and, like, let's say you're not, like, at a booth or a table, you're, like, at the counter or something, and then they'll, like, ask your, and then they'll, like, ask your parents, do you want to check or something? And then they'll go up to you and say, do you want to check or something? Like, because they don't think you guys are together. And then, like, it's sort of weird. And, yeah. Oh. And then once, I was with my friend, and she's Caucasian, and we were on a boat in China, and then some of these Chinese people came up to her, and she's like, can I take a picture with you and my baby? Like, because she was Caucasian. And then, like, I sort of forgot I was Chinese. And then I was like, how could they want a picture with me? And then I remembered that she's Caucasian and I'm not. And that it wouldn't look very, like, a big deal if they'd taken a picture with me, yeah, as if they'd taken a picture with her.
Wait, that's who was a baby?
I don't know, just some random baby.
Yeah, when I went to this restaurant, these my mom and dad were taking an order, and then this lady's like next in line.
What?
Okay, this lady's like next in line. She's just like looking at me like, are you gonna order something? But no, she didn't know that I was with my mom and dad, so she was just kind of saying next in line about 10 times. Didn't exactly get the picture. No, this was like yesterday. And then she just kept on looking at me like, next in line, please. And I'm just like, Mom? She's like, oh. And then, yeah, and then, like, the first time I went to PHS, my first day, when my mom picked me up, and I'm like, okay, bye, guys, I'm going to go home now. And they're like, that's not your mom. I'm like, yes, it is. I know my mom. And they're like, oh, okay, you're adopted. Okay, yeah, I see. Okay, bye. See you tomorrow. And then they...
Who said it? The other students?
Yeah, in my class. They didn't exactly get it either. They're like, no, that's not your mom. I'm like, I know my mom. And then it just kind of came up like, went like that.
I didn't realize I was adopted until Friday.
Oh, God.
What? You're adopted on Friday?
You know Kyle? He's like, oh, you are adopted. And he just realized that.
Well, yeah, he's deaf.
So what do you guys think about, you know, how outside people, when they see your family, how they act? What do you do? What kind of things do you say?
I don't know.
Or do you, you can't really say anything, huh?
Well,
sometimes?
Not really.
Deanna?
We live in a small neighborhood, and everybody sort of knows us, so it doesn't, it's not a big deal in our school. Considering it's public, is very small too, and there's a lot of adopted kids that go there. So, and all my classmates say it's no big deal, really.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Almost everybody in school is Chinese.
Wait, except like three kids in our class are white. Well, they're not exactly white. They're like from Ireland, but they have white skin.
Ireland?
That is as almost as white.
Okay.
Wait, who?
Mason, Lola, and Lily.
They're from Ireland.
Well, not like they're Irish.
They're Caucasian.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, they're Caucasian.
Really,
I never knew that they were from Ireland.
Our school basically just has Hakka of Chinese and white people, and then they have white people, and then there's like only one Hispanic person.
Who?
No, there's
Daniel,
more than one. Hispanic.
Daniel, Anya, and...
Oh, Anaya.
Wait, is
Anaya
that Cecilia?
And Cecilia and Gabby, but they're like, aren't really many Hispanic people.
And then Janet,
but like... This school really doesn't want to make it diverse.
Yeah, because our English as a teacher.
They just want English and white and Chinese.
English SS teacher is like really mad at the school, kind of, that we don't have like a diverse school. We just have practically like white and Asian, and so it's like we don't have many African Americans.
Well,
what name? Oh, yeah, Chinese. Well, Chinese, like, we learn Chinese.
Yeah, I know.
So how many of you go to Chinese American school? Bilingual school.
Houston?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh,
so half.
Houston.
Yeah, so about half, yeah. And and then how many of you take Chinese classes?
Well,
language school?
As well, so, but we learn Cantonese, not Mandarin.
Oh.
But you start with Mandarin.
And so basically, it's immersion as well, and we have a Mandarin class instead of an elective.
Oh wow!
Okay. And the rest of you have Mandarin class? No, Cantonese classes.
No, Mandarin.
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 Yeah. Everybody that goes to KS learns Mandarin.
Oh.
It's an immersion
for
Mandarin
us.
School.
Yeah. That's what I say.
And
yeah.
Do you go to Saturday schools?
No,
or
I
don't.
No.
For,
no, I don't.
So just one?
Yeah.
We don't need to.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't need to? Oh, that's true.
It's
not bad. So, yeah?
You also don't go to Chinese school.
No, but you know the instruments for everything
oh, yeah.
That you get? That's the store that you get it from. And I'm
you
like,
go there?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah, I went there
for the Chinese class every single Saturday.
Oh, do you go to Heather?
What?
Yeah, Heather. With Miranda.
Mm. Well, not with Miranda, but...
So
okay,
what?
What do you think about your schools? How do you like going to a Chinese school or being in the immersion classes?
I hate it.
Well, I like it because, well, I need to know English because most people in San Francisco know English, but... I think it's good to learn Chinese, too, because I sort of feel more connected to China, and so I sort of just, yeah.
Well, it's sort of good to learn it because whoever learns in a second language is better at learning.
And it's just good so when you go to China, you can just talk and you don't need someone to translate. And, well, we have 2 periods of Chinese a day. And, yeah.
Well, Chinese just...
I actually don't... I like it. And because, well, our school is fairly diverse. It's in West Portal, so it's kind of the area. There's quite a few Asians who live in there. And so there's a lot of Asians, but there's also, they don't, there's no, they completely welcome everybody. And so, and the teachers, only the teachers who actually teach the Chinese language are Chinese, and everybody else is, you know, Black American or Caucasian, and so it's really good. And my mom wanted us to learn it because it was our birth language. She wanted us to learn Mandarin or Cantonese. Yeah.
Maggie,
do
you have Chinese?
No.
No?
I actually like learning Chinese, but even though some kids at my school might be a little better or worse in Chinese than me, just kind of makes me feel like that I'm more Chinese, you know?
Okay, well, I don't like my school, but my school sucks, okay? Okay, but anyway, like the Chinese, it's okay, but then, like, I just don't like Chinese history because I think... And then, well, the English program at our school isn't really very good. It isn't.
It isn't, Zaji.
Zaji, it isn't, believe me.
I know.
That's not the point. Anyway, and then a lot of high schools is mostly English, so, like, I think that our school would be better if it had a stronger English program. And I think it takes too much time away for the Chinese.
Well, I like learning Chinese, so when I go to China to meet my biological parents, or my birth parents, I like to speak with them instead of having, like, someone to translate it. And, like, some things I just like personal just to tell them. And if I had a translator, they would kind of have to hear, too, and would kind of get annoying. And they can mess up some stuff. Because when my mom was trying to adopt me, they asked her about her financial funds, and she's like, I get this much money, and then they said she gets $1, like, a year. And so, like, they just looked at her mouth open, like, how can you pay for this baby? It's like, how can you take care of her? And so I just don't think, like, a translator is really thorough. So I just like to talk to them by myself.
Well, I think that a school, Kate, should have Chinese in the morning, like from 7:30 until 8, and then we don't have to have Chinese history or Chinese, because compared to other schools, the only time we'd be spending half an hour on would be like talking and reading magazines, because we do too much writing and not really talk. And talk in Chinese while we're in Chinese class, because I know a lot of people talk in English. And, well, it's just better to have it in the morning, because you don't get the time off your English language arts, because compared to other schools, our English language arts program isn't that good. And we don't really use grammar. Our school just likes to use math and science.
Our English social studies teacher is awesome.
Yeah, our English social studies teacher is really
cool. She's the best teacher in school, besides
Ms. Suha. And then Miss Riley's a writer, so she likes to write.
Miss Shipak is a better writer, that's all I can say.
Okay. Well, we...
Okay, good.
Since it was my birth language, I like learning Chinese. And in 6th grade, we had a Chinese test, and I was really happy because I knew Chinese. And I had to teach other people, and they wanted me to say a lot of this. Like, my teacher wanted me to say, he, like, asked me, oh, how do you say, help, the bus is going to kill me? And then when I told him, he was all, like, laughing in the hallway, and I felt really bad. And then I went back inside, and they were all, I was, like, all confused. I was all, like, confused.
I said so.
Well, the only problem is with learning it in school and not speaking it at home is that you can't really expand it on your own. You just know what you learn at school.
Yeah. How many of you get to speak it at home or outside of school?
I try.
I do.
Sort yeah.
My parents try, but they can't.
Oh, they try?
I do because people ask me.
Oh, on the street?
The you're happy to give
them a info. Yeah, I give them the wrong words. Oh, yeah. They think that pizza means a roasted chicken decaying in the sun.
No, shut up.
Yeah, and then they started saying that in the hallway into the teachers, and I felt really bad because that meant shut up, and they were telling all the teachers to shut up. And I was,
wait, what did they think it means?
It means a roasted chicken decaying in the sun.
That's what they thought.
That's what they thought it meant, but it really means shut up, and they've been saying that to the teachers, and I feel really bad.
You teach people.
Yeah. Like my friend, he wanted to say cake, so I'm like, okay, don't go. And he's like, saying it all over.
I bet the kids would get all the tones and stuff wrong, so it ended up being something else.
Yeah, but I taught them it right.
Amy still gets it wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
My mom and dad can speak Chinese, but we never speak it at home. But yeah, that's all we do. We never really speak it at home. Only on special occasions.
Yeah, what about among your friends with each other, you guys?
Yeah. No way.
Yay!
Because like Chinese class is for Chinese, but not just talking.
And then maybe?
At my parents and I, when we go out to eat, we sometimes go to Chinese restaurants and. Well, the ones that we go to often, and if they speak Mandarin, then they usually like to speak Mandarin to me, and then I have to say, or they like me to say Mandarin back to them. And
okay, well, like, when I go to restaurants, there's this one restaurant I go to a lot, and, like, three of them speak Mandarin, and they always help me on my homework if I need help and stuff, and it's a lot of fun, but, like, with my friends, I don't speak Chinese with them during Chinese class. I speak English. But then, like, but then if we're somewhere, like, where we don't want our other friend, like I was at this summer camp called CTY.
What's it stand for?
Yeah. And the majority of the kids there are Chinese. Oh, CTY, Center for Talented Youth. It's a John Hopkins program. And then, like, the majority of them are Chinese. And so, like, if we wanted, like, to talk with our Caucasian friends to understand. We spoke a lot of Chinese. And then, like, my group performed a skit, and we all talked in Chinese, and it was a lot of fun. Mm.
So, what was your talent?
What?
What was your talent?
Oh, well, like, you have to get high scores on your ERBs and stuff.
Your what?
ERBs.
What's that stand?
They're standardized tests.
Extra tests?
Standardized tests, like, every person
like
has to take them.
I see.
To get into, like, high
school. I see, okay.
Okay.
Sometimes how I communicate with my mom, like I would have to transfer it into Hanyu Pinyin, and then they could kind of read it by that, but they wouldn't really get it right. But like if I had to practice something with them, then they could understand a little.
Oh, you mean with your adoptive mom?
Or your birth mom? Yeah. Okay. No, with my adoptive mom.
Oh, okay,
yeah. And another thing that I like to have, like, speak Chinese is because I could help my friends, because we went to Panda Express, and my friend, Amy, she's like, I would like some rice, please, and the lady couldn't exactly understand her, and she's like, oh, you want fried rice. Oh, no, you want steamed rice. And then I'm like, yeah, she wants steamed rice. And then the lady's like, oh, steamed rice. You could have told me that before. And then we were all, like, giggling in line. It was really funny. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think you guys are really lucky because most people my generation, we didn't have any access to Koreans or Korean language, you know? Not until we moved away from home and then later we can start to learn Korean. So even now, if we're still trying to learn Korean, we're very bad. Yeah, and slow. We can only talk like babies. So I think it's great. You guys are, you know, you have...
Such a young age.
Yeah.
You'll be very happy when you get older and you can speak another language.
Yeah.
So how do you guys consider yourselves? Do you consider yourself Chinese, Chinese American, American? What do you think, Zajik? Maggie, did you have any thoughts?
I consider myself Chinese, I guess.
How about Chinese American. Okay.
What's it mean to you to be Chinese American?
I don't know.
Let's see.
I can tell you what I think it means to be Korean American. Maybe you feel the same way, you just can't say it yet, or say it, you can't explain it yet. But to me now, because I was adopted at 7, I feel like I have a lot of a lot of Korean
roots.
Yeah, well, definitely roots, but I don't know how to explain this, but when you're young, you pick up a lot of things from your parents, right? Like gestures, the way they act. I'm sure you guys all act like your moms or your dads. So I think I still have that, a lot of culture in that sense in me. And now that I'm American, I like being in America. When I go back to Korea, it's kind of weird for me because I'm so used to, the American way of life that I felt like, I really can't live here. I don't think I could ever live here. But I didn't think I was not Korean. I just feel like I'm a Korean American who lives in the United States, you know. I mean, circumstances put you where you are. So I don't know if that clarified it.
You have your own ideas about what it means.
Yeah.
I think it's just sort of a word. I don't really feel any different if I call myself Chinese or American. So, because I know I was born there, but I don't remember anything. I don't really know anything of that. And so it's just basically, I could be either.
Okay.
I don't really feel any difference either way.
Well, if I just say if I'm American, it kind of feels to me like I'm just throwing away where I was born, and I just don't really feel comfortable, so I call myself Chinese American to remember both sides of me, the side of me that's still kind of in China and the side of me that's in America now, living, going to school.
Well, I feel comfortable with just calling myself American rather than Chinese American because, I don't think there really is a part of me in China because, even though I've been there, I saw it more of it as, a tourist than as, a person visiting their home or something. And then, when I'm with, my friends, and most of them are Chinese or Chinese American or American, and then, I don't feel like I'm Chinese. And when I visited China stuff, I didn't feel Chinese. It's just when somebody actually points it out that I remember that I'm Chinese.
That's perfectly natural, I think. I mean, all you've known is America since you're little, right? I mean, culturally, you're raised by American people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I felt American when I went to Korea. I felt I didn't know anything about Korea, which I didn't. Compared to what I know about the United States. So I used to be if somebody said, you're Korean, I would get defensive. I'd go, no, I'm not. I'm American. But I've come to grips with the fact that I'm Korean-American, just like there are Italian-Americans or German-Americans in that sense.
What about you, Yin?
I call myself Asian-American because there may be one of my birth parents that is from a different part of Asia.
Anybody else talk about that?
What you can.
I consider myself Chinese because I just, not that we celebrate a lot of the cultures or anything, just for some reason I just consider myself Chinese.
Okay. Do you like Chinese holidays better or do you like American holidays better?
I don't know a lot of the Chinese holidays, except for maybe New Year's, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
To me, I think it's just a little too complicated. Because you know how there's like a different name for your dad's sister, or your dad's big sister, your dad's little sister, your mom's little brother, your dad's big brother. It gets kind of confusing, and I don't feel any real connection to China because I never really knew anything there.
Anybody else? How do you feel? You feel connected to China?
Yes. I went there a lot of times.
How many times?
I'm counting one. I was born there. I went when I was 4. I went when I was 7. I went when I was 8. I went when I was 10. I went when I was 11. Wait, no, not 10. I went 5 times.
Wow. Your parents do a lot of stuff, right?
And my parents lived there for a while in the 80s. Yeah.
I just feel like I'm Chinese because I was born there and not exactly American because I was just like...
Raised here.
Yeah. I was raised in America, so yeah.
Well, I also feel sort of Chinese, when I'm with my family, because on my dad's side, his older brother married a Chinese lady, and so, some of my cousins are Chinese, and then my aunt's Chinese, and so I also feel Chinese when I'm with them, because they always want to test their Chinese with me, and see how good their handwriting is and stuff, because I, do it every day.
Anyone else been to China? What did you guys think about it, and how does it compare to America? How'd you feel when you were there? Maggie?
I went to China twice, once when I was born there, and then once when I was in second grade. When I was there, it was cool. I went to the orphanage where I was born there and stuff. And
what did you like about China?
I liked to see the orphanage and stuff. And I saw the person who was the translator.
Oh, okay.
For my parents.
Yeah. What part of China was that?
Shanghai.
It's a big city, right?
I love Shanghai.
I think.
Shanghai rules. Hong Kong. Sorry, I did a project on Hong Kong.
I also went to China when I was in second grade. I also visited my orphanage, and I felt like I was sort of connected, but I was also sort of uncomfortable because I haven't really been there since the day I was adopted and the months before that. And so, when I was in one of the rooms where there were quite a few nurses, they were all carrying babies, and they kept asking me questions if I wanted a baby sister, and because my mom said that the nurses might have thought that we were back to adopt another child, so, and I felt really uncomfortable and.
Okay, well, when I went back to China, I met a lot of people who my parents knew when they adopted me. And so, when I went back to my orphanage, I met a lot of people who had known me when I was really little. And they were really nice to me because they recognized me. And then I made a lot of friends with people at my orphanage, and they were really nice to me and showed me around. And a lot of times I'd stay at this one nursery, and there was this little girl I really, really liked. And then, because she was old enough to talk, she asked me if she was going home with me. And I asked my mom if she could. And then the day I left, I found out she was being adopted by people in China, and I was really, really sad.
Well,
Well, I went to China 5 times, and, well, the first time I went to the Great Wall, and the second time I went, well, I went to Shanghai, and I've been to Yang's Orphanage, and yeah. I've been to Wuhan and Hubei, and Shanghai and Hong Kong, and I like, and my orphanage in Hunan, and yeah, and I like Hong Kong because, and Jiangxi, and I like Hong Kong because it has Ocean Park, and it's an amusement park where you play, and I like Hong Kong because it's just Hong Kong, and it has a bay, sort of like San Francisco, and it has like all, some people of white people living there, and but it isn't, yeah. And when I went to my orphanage, I liked it because my mom went before I did, a year before, with this person named Jolie Bales and her daughter Isabel. And she went, and the caregiver went to her, and she hugged her because she recognized her. And then when I went, she recognized me, and I went to her house, and I got a silk thing.
So she was the one who took care of you when you were at
yeah.
the orphanage?
Yeah, and she gave, like, details of, like, they had to feed me with this, sort of like an eyedropper because I didn't want to eat. And then the last time I went with Belgian, with some Belgian people and some people from England and some people from Scottsdale, Arizona, and we were all going to the same place, and when the Belgian people, since they're almost the oldest of, like, getting adopted, but then there's some Canadian people who are also very old, but the Belgian people are, like, 14, 15, and 13, and when they came too late to China because the caregiver didn't really have anything to say to them because she sort of forgot.
Did you have anything you wanted to? Anybody over here?
Okay. Oh. Well, when I went to China, I talked with my caregiver and stuff. And, like, when I had gone to the orphanage, my mom had asked, like, where does she live and stuff, and they wouldn't give that information to her. Mm-hmm. So, like, well, we knew her name, so we went into a taxi and asked him to find her. And so we, like, drove around for hours, and then we found her. And when we got there, I was, like, really shocked by the state of her home because I thought that, like, I didn't think it would be like that. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we kept in touch with them.
What was it
like? It was mud. Mm-hmm. And, like, it wasn't, well, like, you could tell that they really cared about each other and cared about their home and stuff, but it wasn't, like, It wasn't like this here. It was really different. And then, like, we kept in touch with them, like, since we left. And so, like, I sort of feel like I know them and know a little about their family. And then, like, when they, like, write letters to us and stuff, they tell us, like, everything about their life. Like, even if it's really, really personal and stuff. So, yeah.
Sorry, but could you not to the movie things around and make a noise because it's all about audio?
It'll catch it up on the
yeah.
When I went to China when I was in 7th grade, I went to my orphanage with my other friend Annie, and I found the person who took care of me, and I was really, really happy, and so was she, and she gave us a cup of noodle, which made me really happy. And I played with the babies, and I went into this room with at least 5-year-olds and 4-year-olds. And sometimes, like, I think 1 or 2 were 6. And I was like, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, I'm watching football. But when, like, in America, it's really soccer. And I was like, oh, really? I thought it was soccer. And they're like, oh, no, 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 that's when you kick the ball and you put in this big hoop thingy, but they were talking about basketball. And I was like, yeah, okay, have fun. And they were eating out of these bowls, and I felt really bad. and I really wanted to adopt one of them because they were really cute. And yeah.
How are you guys doing? Do you need a little break? Or are you okay? A little break? Can we take a little break?
Yeah, but we don't have lots of time. We already spent like 15 minutes, so we can still wrap it up.
Okay.
What time is it now?
It is 7:20.
Oh, it ended with me.
Okay, so
5:30 to 7:30, right?
Oh, okay.
Oh, just 10 minutes.
Okay, so
If you guys had one thing that you would tell adoptive parents that's important for them to think about when they have adopted kids, what would you tell them?
I think I would tell them to keep showing their child pictures of China and of the orphanage that they came from, even though if they couldn't really understand yet, but to just keep showing them pictures and talking to them, and then probably sooner or later they'll understand that they're adopted, because I think it's it wouldn't really feel good if you were older, around in your teens or something, and then your parents finally tell you that you're adopted. And
well, like she said, like you should tell them that they're adopted, because then it won't be as much of a shock as if they did tell you like a lot later. And then they should also remember that, like, that kids might tease them about it. Like, even if the kids know that you're adopted and know a lot of people who are adopted, because like sometimes they'll just do it to hurt you. And it's not fun, because, like, even if you know a lot about being adopted and stuff, it's still really different. And I think that the parents should also talk to the kids about why they're adopted and stuff, so that when kids ask, like, oh, was it just because you weren't good enough so your parents didn't want you and stuff, that you know that that's not true.
Sure. Do you
want to
just all go around?
I would tell them to, for them to put their kids in Asian neighborhoods, so the schools they go in, they can have people to talk to that's Asian.
I would say that no matter what, even if somebody really tries to put you down, don't let them, because then it'll really bug you and you don't want that to happen, and then you might get mad at your parents or something. So you just, no matter what, just try to stay calm.
Be strong. Be strong and stay calm.
I think that the most important thing is that the child knows that they're adopted, but they understand that it wasn't their fault, and that their parents keep an open mind to, you know, help them get through it and be able to do anything that maybe will make it easier. You know, maybe try and find their birth parents, or try, because it's hard not knowing your background or who might be out there if you have siblings or something. So I think basically the parents need to just make sure they know that anything could be possible, but that they are their parents, and it's not that different. Their parents just, and they love them just as much as their birth parents would.
Well, I think the same, that they should impress the fact that they were adopted, like when they're 3 or something and they understand it. But if you're being adopted and you're like 7 and you're foster cared in the United States, you'll know. But if like someone's giving you a hard time, you should tell your mom or dad, and they'll tell the principal or something. And then if you're like coming overseas and you're 11, you should try, your mom or dad should try to like get a person the same culture as you, and like get you guys to like just have fun together, like go to the movies or something, so you don't feel left out if you're the only one.
I think they should just keep reminding them that they're adopted and that they're not exactly different from everybody else. It's just that they might get teased or something, and people might say, oh, look, you're adopted, haha, and stuff like that. And they should just accept the fact that they're adopted, and they should be proud of it. And yeah.
Well, I think right when the parents tell them that they're adopted and they understand, I would try to find like a place that they would feel comfortable and not like start off where people might tease them. Like, so a place maybe where like they would just feel comfortable talking to everybody, no one like prejudice or anything, so that they can get used to it. And then like when they're a little older, they could go to like an open school with all different diversities, like with different religions, and yeah, and then just go on with their life.
Okay.
You want
to say
two more things? Yeah. No. Okay. I forgot.
You come back to okay. me.
But I think they should not pester them with it, you know, put it in their face, because if you do that, the child is gonna not going to want to talk. So just kind of let it happen, because it will happen. They'll want to talk, and they'll want to know more. I still don't remember it.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
What about like public? Do we have something to add?
Oh, okay, yeah. Or maybe this question.
Oh, yeah.
What does it mean to you that you're adopted? Or maybe what do you think a family is, and how would you explain it to the general public?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, a family is like an adult or a sister or someone who cares for you, and it can be two people, three people, or a really big family, or it could be a medium family, or it could be like a gay family with like your mom, you have two moms, or you have two dads. Or you have both, two moms and two dads, or you're divorced, or your parents are divorced, and there's really nothing that can't make a family, unless you're abusing or stuff. Yeah. They're still your family, but they're not a good family.
I think it's just basically any community that's caring and loving and that fulfills your needs, because, you know, a whole community, like a neighborhood, can be a family, or your friends, that can be a family.
Yeah. So caring, taking care of your needs, yeah?
Your family could be, like, your school, your friends, and, like, basically all your friends who love you, and yeah.
Do you want to say something, Sasha?
I think that adoptive kids are really lucky, because they have like two families that love them like so much, and it's just like even through the kids, maybe some kids couldn't find their biological parents, they just know that they love them and they didn't want to give them away.
Or it could be a foster family, and you could have, so I know a person who went through like 20 foster families, and all of them could be her family.
And it's basically people who can help you with your problems, and basically anything that you need help on.
Great. Yeah, I have a question. So, is it okay now? I ask this last question and then we can all go. I don't know much about adoption and adoptees before I did this project. And there are a lot of people who are like that, you know, when you go out, people, you say, they stare at you, right? And do you have any advice to people like them, you know? Do you know what I mean?
Like, any advice?
Yeah.
I might do a trick.
do you know what I'm talking
about? Oh, I know that shirt. I think it's just that, think about if maybe they went to China or something, people would probably be staring at them, and think about maybe how that might feel to them. Mm. It's because this country is supposed to be diverse, and there's many people out there, different, all
sorts of shapes and sizes, and so it's just, you think, good. Try to be in this other, their shoes, I mean, just think about it, because you could any day be that in that position.
People who are adopted might go back to their country, and people might be looking at them or whispering, and then they'll feel really awkward, and they shouldn't worry because it's not really exactly their fault that they're adopted. They just don't exactly look like their parents, and yeah.
Thank you. Well, like Dee said, we're all different shapes and sizes, and we're all different people, but like underneath we're basically all the same, because we're sort of like apples. Like, like you could buy like a red, a green, and like a mixed color apple, but then like once you peel them, you can't really tell the difference, and like we all look different, but we're basically all the same.
Orange
is
not even Sprite. You can't tell the difference between
these. You can. Okay, well, any last thoughts? You guys did a really good job. Yeah. You're very well spoken. Yeah.
Give yourself a hand.
Yeah. Yay!